anytime you can get Sam Amick to call in on a show, it's a damn good day. Sam, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Just want to say we appreciate your time. We know it doesn't always work out for you, but anytime you can fit us into your schedule, we appreciate it.
I guess I deserve that. Sam, I just told Kevin on the before we jumped on the air, I said, man, I'm so excited to make amends. We're going to let's go twice as long today. Let's be twice as good. Let's do it.
How about twice as good? We can go twice as long. Poor Sam. Sam last week. Sam, I've been having Sam on shows I've been doing. God, Sam, it's got to be 7, 8, 9 years, a long time.
Right.
It's the first time ever Sam missed a spot. He's had stuff going on, whatever things happen, that's fine. Sam called me immediately after. I couldn't play it off, Sam. I wanted to be mad. I wanted to be fake mad at you. I couldn't do it. You and your corduroy jackets.
Man, you're perpetuating this corduroy thing. You know, I got Damien asking me about it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I'm going to start wearing them again just to live up to my reputation that you're pulling out of the closet.
I want to remind everybody, Sam Amick presented by Stockton Honda. Stockton Honda is Northern California's fastest growing Honda dealer. Get your 15-minute trade-in appraisal at StocktonHonda.com. Katie's in Portland today, Sam, trying to talk Nate and mostly me probably off the ledge. Nate's more even keeled, but I got to be honest. I felt like the Lakers came in. They punked the Kings last night in their new arena. Lakers fans came in. They were louder. It was just, from a Kings fan's point of view, more disgusting to see a team that has rebuilt, let's be honest, faster and better than this team.
Yeah, I think that last part is, as a Kings fan, the disconcerting part. Because honestly, in the vacuum of one night, and if you're not looking at the respective rebuilds, you just have it, stuff happens in a game. They didn't finish well. They were up 19, I think, or 18. And so that part's not the end of the world. But what did strike me watching it was, and I know the TNT guys kind of had this debate on the show, was just who's farther ahead of the rebuilding curve. And that's the part that makes you just kind of go, man, that's kind of crazy. Because just a matter of, you know, that their opinion was that it was the Lakers. Because not that long ago, it was the Lakers getting ridiculed for being behind schedule and not being able to advance enough to attract free agents, and their whole plan was off the rails. And it's early. I mean, listen, 5-4 is a good start for them, but, you know, who knows what happens down the road. But it was a bad loss. I mean, like you said, on Twitter, I mean, I saw you kind of going a little bit postal last night, and and they, you know, the schedule coming up is just brutal. And in that regard, on the heels of the only TNT game of the season, that's pretty tough.
You know, Sam, it's interesting to me because when I look at this Lakers team, some people are shocked at how they're starting the year. Now, not only do I think it has a lot to do with Luke Walton, but I kind of look back to last year and say, hey, they had a lot of these guys on their team, and where, yes, some of the young guys have developed a little bit. Really, last year was a wasted season that they basically said, here, Kobe, we're going to give you a farewell tour and we're going to just take a backseat to everything. And this team is showing that they were a much better team last year. They were just being held back by Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, Katie. I mean, I just got back from L.A. And just to give you the quick backstory, and as you guys know, I end up bouncing around a lot and trying to pay attention to what the bigger stories are. So the Lakers upset the Warriors, obviously Luke Walton's old team. And about 20 minutes after that game, I was literally on Southwest booking my flight saying, okay, I need to head down there and we need to have a Lakers presence in our coverage. So everything you said is accurate. Luke Walton deserves a ton of credit. In terms of the spirit of the group and the culture, it's amazing. These young guys felt like Byron Scott, you know, had his thumb on them all year long last year, that it was kind of the old Kaji coach coming in, you know, let me tell you about my championships. Let me tell you why you don't know anything. And that just didn't work. And so Luke is more of kind of an inclusive guy, and he's uplifting the group, and they seem like they're really having fun. The Kobe thing is the elephant in the room, and I was a little bit struck by even people within the Lakers organization, like how comfortable they were freely admitting now at the impact it had with the whole Kobe dynamic and the fact that, you know, there was only so much oxygen in the room. And so all that stuff has played a part, and they've got a good young core. I mean, Ingram had some interesting moments last night, and you know, and even the veterans, Lou Williams and Nick Young, all of a sudden playing good ball. You know, I didn't see it coming, but, you know, they look pretty good.
I mean, Sam, did we just completely, because of Kobe, we look past the fact that this is probably the greatest tank job ever? They throw a Hall of Famer out there and a coach in Byron Scott, that they've got all this young talent, right? You got D'Angelo Russell, right, and Julius Randle, and then you just throw this Hall of Famer out there and say, hey, dude, you can take all the shots you want and do whatever you want, and everyone will sleep on us. We'll get Brandon Ingram, go. And now we'll have three studs.
I know. I mean, it's a heck of a point, Nate. And I know your Kings audience is probably already having their stomach turned with all the Lakers dissection here. But but yes, it is surprising and interesting and bodes very well for them going forward. I don't want to go too far down this road, but the other subplot that's worth monitoring is, you know, Jeannie Buss for years now has said that Lakers weren't in title contention by this coming playoffs, that the front office was going to be overhauled. And having just been down there, what I find so interesting is, like, I'm kind of looking at her like, man, Jeannie, I don't know. Even if they sniff 500, like, the vibe is so positive, I think she'll have a hard time making a change. But, you know, they've got a really good young core, and they're in a good spot. And I think if they keep it up, they'll be getting free agents this summer. And the Kings' problem, as I see it, and this is something that I think it was Shaq, I forget which one weighed in last night, but it was just the idea that so many of their pieces are veterans and guys that you know who they are. And so, unfortunately for Kings fans, the ceiling and the upside and the optimism and the hope, at least right now, I don't think is going to be as great as with the Lakers situation.
Sam Amick, USA Today, joining us on KHTK. I think one of the elephants in the room, and I feel as a lifelong Kings fan, a little dirty and greasy even asking this question. You're at 30,000 feet. You could better judge. When you are a bad team, and you're a bad team that plays in a city that is not a free agent destination per se, you have to get help through the draft. You have to get help from players that are forced to come and play for you. At what point, or are we there already, is it fair to start wondering if the clock is ticking on Vlade Divac?
Yeah, I admittedly, Dave, I wondered that last night. I mean, Vivek Ranadive has been very, very supportive in his comments, and I've talked to him about Vlade, and, you know, at the same time, he's joked and said Vlade's got to get the job done. I don't think that's anything imminent. I think
sure. That
he, you know, he's certainly, and by imminent, I don't even mean 6 to 10 months. I think that, you know, he's got a chance to make some key decisions this season, and the one that started rearing its head earlier than I had anticipated last night was, with DeMarcus Cousins, just from the standpoint of, you saw some frustration. You saw, okay, the way the game ended, you know, I know he and Julius Randle have history at Kentucky, and he had said that he was like a little brother, but, you know, it's a pretty tough ending to the game where the fans are walking out disappointed. And that's, you guys have, this is Groundhog Day. We've seen early season frustration so many times before. So if that continued, and if they went south, as the February trade deadline got here, there's going to be a lot of chatter around the league. You know, teams are going to be coming yet again to try to pry him away. So that's the kind of key decision that Vlade has to make again. And so I think, you know, he's got a runway here to try to make it happen. But at the end of the day, he's going to be no different than any executive in the league, where as much as they like him as a person, if the team is not building and going in the right direction, then, you know, it's one thing happens.
Sam, the way I look at it is the front office and Vlade are kind of in between a rock and a hard place. Because when you look at it, they've tried to put young guys around DeMarcus Cousins in the past. They've been some bad decisions in the draft. I feel like they're a veteran team this year because they've tried to surround DeMarcus now with veteran players that can maybe help be productive around him on the court and hopefully also maybe curb some personality issues. So it doesn't appear like there's any right way to go if you've chosen that DeMarcus is your centerpiece.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know who's the sidekick supposed to be, and who's, because it's not Rudy anymore, because we know how he feels.
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. No, really. And even that's hard because, yeah, you know, there's a little bit of a gray area there to me. I mean, losing him for what they lost him for is obviously not good at all, but, you know, we all know what the record was when Isaiah was here too. And that doesn't mean they couldn't have built it into, I think if you had, the thing that was missing is if Isaiah and DeMarcus found a way to, you know, like genuinely unite forces and then be the two guys that went out and try to get a third guy,
sure.
Then that's what you're talking about. So for sure, I mean, Isaiah's turned himself into an all-star, and I mean, it's crazy watching what he's doing now. So I don't know what direction they take. The irony of facing the Lakers is that, you know, I don't think that interest in Cousins has gone away. They are in a really good spot where they're going to probably at least inquire about every high-profile player who might be available on the trade market in order for them to take that next step. And they have the kinds of pieces that would put them in the game with almost anybody.
But,
I know, man. I know. Right. I hear you. And that's probably exactly, I mean, I think you're quoting Vlade there, to be honest with you. I'm sure that's how he sees it too. I mean, you know, it's not only seeing him four times a year, but having him right down the road. So I hear you there. But, Katie, I don't know how they do that, because I'm looking at their roster, and you're right. So many vets, you know, Kufas, Ty Lawson, Aflalo, Tolliver, Barnes. I mean, the only guys who are parallel to the D'Angelo Russells and the Ingrams and the Julius Randles and Jordan Clarkson, you know, it's okay, it's Willie, and it's Ben, who at some point, you know, I mean, it's been so bad early on here. I don't know who, besides DeMarcus, who's getting you fired up.
There's nothing there. Sam Hamick of USA Today joins us on KHDK. Do you see a path to rebuild something like this on the fly, or is it chasing that myth that has plagued them for the last 5-6 years in general?
I mean, it's funny because, Nate, like, I've always unofficially polled people around the league on the Cousins thing, and it's not like the Kings, say what you will about some of the nonsense on the periphery, but the core strategy and philosophy of trying to make it work with a player of DeMarcus's caliber, it's not like I had people all around the NBA saying they're nuts. What are they doing? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there were definitely some, but that was more just people who have a really strong belief in kind of the fabric of a superstar who didn't like his fabric. Yeah, they were saying cut bait. But there were a lot more people saying, I don't know, man, he's pretty special and you got to try to find a way to make it work. So, I mean, it is tough. They've been chasing that for a while, and then it's been even more salt in the wound because you'll see him go off to Team USA and the Olympics and FIBA and Spain. And then you'll see him be a productive, positive part of a winning environment. And that kind of tantalizes, you know, the senses a little bit to what it could be in Sacramento, but they just, you know, at least so far, just have not been able to find a way to switch that over.
Sam Amick, USA Today, joining us, and speaking of the doom and gloom, and I agree with everything you're saying. There is a elephant on the horizon, and that's not even a saying. I just made it up. But there's
a lot of elephants this morning.
Yeah, there are.
There's National Geographic Channel.
Yeah, you know. In almost exactly 2 months from today, Sam, and I'm putting you on the spot here, George Karl's book is going to be released. And I've started to hear some whispers about what he says about this team and about DeMarcus Cousins. And it sounds pretty, I don't want to say devastating, but from everything I've heard, he does not hold back.
Funny you mention that. No, seriously. So when I was in LA, I went to Manhattan Beach the afternoon of the first day I was there. And there's a place you guys might have seen. There's a spot called Shark's Cove, and they've got a bunch of TVs and stuff. And so a lot of times I'll take my computer there and get work done. So I was sitting there having a beer and typing away, and I look up and the one and only Kobe Karl is walking down the street, George's son. And so Kobe is the head coach of the LA Defenders now, the D-League team down there. So long story short, said hello, got a chance to catch up a little bit. You know, I kind of mentioned the book, and so that was already on my radar. And I didn't know the release date. So that'll be a monkey wrench if that does ultimately happen. In terms of just certain stories coming out, you don't need that kind of distraction in the middle of the season. I mean, if I look back to when George was finishing with the Kings and I'll probably just paraphrase here. It's very safe to say that George thought that the media should have shared more about stuff that happened behind the scenes than they did. And clearly he decided at some point to just pick up the pen himself. So a lot of intrigue about what might be coming down the line. And this part is just me talking, though. I do wonder, you know, I'm not the farthest thing from a lawyer, but I kind of wonder, tell-all books have been happening for a long time. I wonder if he's not going to face some pushback here before the release date on, you know, I just kind of wonder behind the scenes, especially with the kind of buildup that you're alluding to, you know, what forces might be trying to,
Sam, you've heard the same thing though, correct? I mean, you've heard that he's pretty free-willing, I would imagine, in this book.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the one anecdote already came out that Rudy Gay had looked at him and said, when he got to town, welcome to hell. You know, there was that story. I'm just saying that, I guess I'm tap dancing around it here, but I've been getting the sense that I think it's going to come out. I think he's going to tell all these stories. I also think he's facing some resistance.
Sure.
So I'm curious to see how that unfolds. But listen, I think we're pretty good at our jobs, but we still, unfortunately, mostly scratch the surface of what happens behind the scenes. So for a head coach, if he decides to do the Phil Jackson thing and just completely tell everything, that's not going to be pretty. You know what I mean? There's just no way, especially when his perspective is just widely known. I mean, this guy, you know, got run out of town in his mind, largely by the franchise player and the ownership that didn't back him. And so, you know what the tone is going to be.
Sam Amick joining us. Switching off the Kings here real quick, Sam, before we finish up. I don't know what it is with Michael Malone referees and Memphis, but that happened again. The Denver Nuggets have protested their last-second loss to the Grizzlies. There was a weird call at the end of the game where the refs replayed the play and determined Moutier hit the ball away from Conley. It turns out the other angle showed that wasn't the case. That is almost... you want to say almost a guaranteed victory, but when I looked at the time of the situation, I said, not so fast. Kings fans will tell you about all that can be done in under 2 seconds against the Grizzlies. There's precedent here a little bit going back to Shaquille O'Neal fouling out when he was with the Heat and them replaying the end of that. I think that was Heat and Hawks. To you, I know you're not in the NBA front office there, Sam, but do you think Michael Malone and the Nuggets have any chance of at least getting that replayed?
I don't have a sense of it. I mean, most of the time the NBA just simply won't go down that road. Funny little slice of coincidence here is that now one of the guys in the league office, my understanding is who would be reviewing this type of situation and having some input, is Michael's old colleague with the Kings, Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Oh.
Who now is working with Kiki Vandeweghe one of the league executives who decides such matters and works with the refs on a consistent basis. So that's a good question. I haven't inquired with the league, but history tells us that whether it's the last 2-minute report, when they get it wrong, unfortunately, you know, it seems like 100 times out of 100, the NBA essentially puts out a memo saying we screwed up and says, you know, onward and upward. They don't hit the rewind button, but who knows? I mean, that was rough, you know, I think the human factor comes into play, and like you said, Michael has been the victim of it a couple times, you know, but I'd be pretty shocked if they did anything there.
Well, based on that revelation, here's to hoping the Kings don't have any last-second controversial losses that need to be reviewed by the NBA
right.
office.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, buddy, always appreciated. Say hi to the family, and we will talk to you next week. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys, you too.
All right, Sam. Take care.
Thanks, Sam.
USA Today's Sam Amick right there, and Sam, as always, each and every week, brought to you, of course, by Stockton Honda. Stockton Honda, Northern California's fastest-growing Honda dealer. Get your 15-minute trade-in appraisal at StocktonHonda.com. Before we finish up here, I want to send a quick note to 2 Jersey Mike's, 2 Sacramento area locations, 624 Watt Avenue in the Arden Town Center on Fulton Marconi. Also in the Town and Country Village, they sponsor 4 Down Territory. They also bake their bread fresh daily and feature fresh-made cold subs and fresh-grilled hot subs. Guys, as we finish out the break before we talk to Ken Rudolph here in a few minutes, we'll reiterate, I just think, what happened or what we talked about earlier in the program. Katie, it is only 10 games into the season. And guess what? Had they won last night, they would have been a 500 team. And certainly come, not even January, I remember how down we were in the middle of that road trip after the Milwaukee loss. And then in the course of two games, they had an opportunity to hit 500, and people like me were on the other side of the roller coaster. So I recognize that, all emotions aside, that 2 weeks from now we could have a totally different tune. Here's my issue. We're talking about changing culture and attitude with this team as much as anything. And as you well know, Katie, they're in Portland tonight where you are, and then they come home for San Antonio, the Clippers, a pissed-off Toronto team, Oklahoma City, Houston, and then they go on the road for six on an East Coast swing. The schedule gods were very, very angry with this team.
Yeah, well, I mean, we always say you have to play the schedule in front of you because, you know, that's basically the only platitude that you have to just say life sucks to be this team right now, but it sucks for other teams as well. You know, I've been thinking a lot kind of about the stance that you and Nate take, and I understand because I think that's very in line with a lot of Kings fans. And no matter how bad things get, and I'm trying to figure out where my perspective comes from, I really try to reason and look at things in a different way. And honestly, I have to, I'm not playing the card, but it's just the truth. I think that as a player, I'm conditioned to think that way because I've played on teams that were really, really bad. And in my first couple of years in the WNBA, we were not a good team. Now, granted, we battled and we were in every game, but record-wise, it was really, really difficult. And in your mind, you always have to have that kind of point of view where it's like, okay, you just gotta, you move on to the next one. So you try, I try and look at the things that the Kings are doing well, the things that they need to improve on. They have an opportunity tonight to come in to Portland. The only thing that scares me about this game a little bit, you guys, it's not Damian Lillard and McCollum exactly. It's the fact that they just got their butts handed to them by the Clippers. Like so badly beat by the Clippers, they're going to come out with a chip on their shoulder tonight. The Kings have to come out with a chip on their shoulder after last night's beating.
I think you brought up a really good point about the schedule, just in that it seems like year after year it's been, oh man, this schedule is really tough. And every time you look ahead, it's like, oh God, this, you know, here's a team that's going to be mad, and here's another road trip that's going to be tough on them, and they got a back-to-back and XYZ. And I mean, let's face it, the reality is when you're worse than more than half the teams in the league, the schedule is going to suck for you because you don't look down it and see any wins. Like, the schedule sucks when you're a bad team.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what it is.
The thing that worries me about tonight's game
every
is...
Every road trip sucks. Every back-to-back sucks.
It all
every
sucks.
Every home game is a trap game. Ugh.
And Portland's better. So there's that. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Kenneth Rudolph will join us. We'll get some news out of him. We still have the Bearco Redwood moment of the game. It's a packed half hour for you. Don't go away. No flipping right here on the Drive.
No
Sports
flipping.
1140 KHTK. That's high-level professional whistleblowing right there. So obviously we know who blew that whistle because Katie's up in Portland. It's Carmichael Dave and Katie Christensen. She, as always, looks lovely. She's smart. She's talented. But I got to be honest, Katie, you don't look as bright and chipper as you do when you're at home. And I know part of that's the travel. But part of that's also got to be the fact that even though you're in a nice hotel, and we talk about this all the time when you go on the road, you did not have the benefit of your Sleep Train mattress, which helps you so much on those good night sleeps.
Yeah, Dave, well, a back-to-back on the West Coast for me means less than 3 hours of sleep. So we talk about it all the time, and I think people probably think we're just trying to sell beds. But when you have a really good night's sleep and you're comfortable and you're not tossing and turning, you're making the most out of those 3 hours. I'll be honest, I did not make the most out of my 3 hours of sleep last night. It was a brutal night in the hotel. We're in a very, very nice hotel. But everything from, you know, the pillows not being the same, the mattress not being the same, I miss home.
Well, and on top of that, we are trying to sell beds. I completely agree with you, too. Wait, let's not try to hide it.
We're not, but I think they think that that's the, we're just saying it because of that. No, I can 100% get on board with the fact that this is the best mattress and the best sleep I've ever gotten.
You got the superior service, the best selection, and the lowest price guaranteed, darn it. Sleep Train, your ticket to a better night's sleep.
How long?